Ladies and gentlemen, Ali Sadiq.
What up, though? Okay, I'm finna start. So, you know how they say, easy like Sunday morning? Yeah, Lionel Richie said that song. Marcus say that all the time. He say, it's easy like Sunday morning. And I get that. But Monday is hard for some strange reason. I don't care if you unemployed, if you employed, or you own your own business, whatever you're doing, Monday is hard. I'm gonna tell y'all four stories. All of them started on Monday. And I'm gonna go in order. So this particular Monday, I'm doing what I normally do. I go to this gym, Main Street Boxing Gym, 1612 Austin Street. Yeah, I say that real bold, so if anybody tried me, you know where I'm really at. So 1612 Austin Street is Main Street Gym. I'm in that gym every Monday. I get to town, I'm there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That's when I'm there, because I leave town on Thursdays. Now this particular Monday, I walk into the gym, I'm having a pretty good day, and I get there at 5:30 a.m. Yeah, 5:30 a.m. in there doing my thing. Okay, so I walk in this particular Monday, and when I walked in, it's some guys already in the ring sparring. I'm wondering, what time did they get here? It's 5:30. I walk in and they sparring, and one of the guys hit the other guy. And looked at me and talking about, yeah, we in here this morning. But what you looking at me for? Look at your opponent. And I am immediately offended. Cause he gonna throw his jab and look at me. I walk over to my trainer, I say, hey man, go get my shit. And he said, what? I said, man, go get my shit. Old boy in the ring, popping shit. He said, what he say? He gonna throw a jab. And then gonna talk about, we in here this morning. I'm in this motherfucker too. He goddamn looking at me. My trainer, he say, man, I just wanna throw this out there. You just walked in here. You ain't jump rope. You ain't did none of that. Just to say, you're not warmed up. I said, I don't give a shit. Go get my shit. Old boy ain't gonna be talking crazy to me in the morning. Talking about, we in here. I'm in this motherfucker too. Against my trainer's wishes, he went and got my stuff, my headgear and everything. My hand was already wrapped up when I got there. And by the time he got my stuff on, they still in the ring, sparring. I don't wait for no bell, no nothing. I just get in the ring. And I look at the dude, he's sparring, I say, hey man, you done. Get your ass out of here. You know what I'm saying? Let me take care of this business. Now, I'ma just ask y'all, do y'all like little tidbits in stories that enhance the story? Okay, this is a little tidbit. Just gonna throw this out there, a little tidbit. I had just recently paid $78 to watch him fight on pay-per-view. No, I'm just throwing this out there, because when I turned around and saw it, I'm like, okay, I ain't know who it was, because he had on headgear. I didn't really see him, and now I see him. I'm like, I just paid $78 to watch him fight on pay-per-view. Okay. It's a, okay. Because I started thinking to myself, well, you know, maybe this was a bad decision. Maybe I'm not all the way up yet. I drove over here, but maybe I'm not all the way up. Now, this is a guy, Victor Ortiz. Victor Ortiz just was fighting on pay-per-view with this guy named Todd Manuel. That's who, and this is who this is, Todd Manuel. And Todd said, so what we doing? We going to the body. I said, man, fight your fight, nigga. Now see, I'm tripping. But I'm in here, but people know I'm nice though. People know I'm nice. And man, Todd, after I done said what I done said, Todd, the bell rang, and he said, it's about to be a fresh round, and I'm in my corner getting ready, and Todd was listening to me. When I said, fight your fight, Todd was definitely listening to me. Because when the bell rang, Todd was all in my corner, all fast. No, y'all don't understand. It's like, I'm over here, and he was so in my corner, I said, man, what are you over here for? We ain't even touched gloves or nothing. This ain't no sportsmanship, sir. But since Todd was in my corner, people know I'm nice. People know I'm nice. So I threw something out there on Todd. Now, I didn't hit him at all. I didn't hit him. He moved. You know what I'm saying? So, and then when he moved, he turned on the other side. So I saw he was over there. I threw something over there because people know I'm nice. Now, once again, I did not hit him. Todd's footwork was excellent. Do you understand me? Now, me and Todd, when he turned, I turned, and me and Todd straight. So I see him. So I just got to let Todd know. Because people know I'm nice. I gotta let Todd know. No, for real, people know I'm nice. I gotta let Todd know I'm real in here. So I threw something out there real strong. Now, Detroit, I left this out there way too long. Way too long. I left this out there way too long. Because this area right here is called the bread basket. That's what it's called. It's called the bread basket. And I knew he had been in there. No, I knew he had been in there because I looked at him. He was eating a sandwich. I said, this nigga eating a sandwich. Where you get that bread from? And this area was all warm and toasty, like somebody left my oven open. So I immediately brought that back in, and tried to defend myself. And when I looked up, Todd had moved over here. He had turned on me, and I hadn't turned yet. He over here. And then I saw him out my peripheral. And I looked, I said, oh shit, Todd about to hit me in the face. So I threw my defense up, put that up. But Todd was not going for my face. It was a little small area up under here that he just threw something in there. He just threw it in there. And I'm gonna be honest with y'all. You are not supposed to see your breath unless it's cold. When I was here, and I saw my breath, I'm like, I'm out. And I tried to use my glove. I was like, no, I need you. It was getting bad. But let me tell you, the whole time it's getting bad in here, you know who I'm mad at? My trainer. That's who I'm mad at. Because see, people know, if you sparring, your trainer can come on that mat and call you over for no apparent reason and have a conversation with you. Come here, let me talk to you real quick. He can do that during a sparring match, and he is not choosing to do that. He is not choosing to do that. He over there, he done got caught up like this is a real fight. He over there, somebody, get your composure. And I'm looking at him like, I don't want to get my composure. I want to get out of here. What I want you to do is throw that towel that's right by you. Throw that towel up. Matter of fact, throw that chair in here so I can hit this nigga with this chair. Now, I'm a real fighter, and people know I'm nice. So when I hear get your composure, I'm going to gather myself and start getting my composure. Now, the first thing I need to do to get my composure is get away from Todd for just a little bit. Just get away from him. So I done moved on him, and now I'm looking at him a little bit. I'm looking at him. I'm stepping to, you know, my left. I'm looking at him. And now, let me tell you something. What comes... I don't want you to be lost in the story. So I'm just gonna just run it back for you. It's 5:30 in the morning. I've showed up to the gym. Okay. Now, I threw something. Left it out there way too long. Bread basket, eating a sandwich. Turn in my face. Ha, breath out of there. Ha, I'm out. Don't want you to be lost in the movie. You know, you gotta catch people up. You know, you gotta catch people up. So what comes with composure is confidence. It's confidence. Because I done got my composure, and now I ain't got a little confidence because Todd done threw a couple of punches, and I done slipped some things. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. People know I'm nice. You know what I'm saying? So Todd tried to faint me. He tried to throw a little hard faint, and I saw it. When he tried to throw a little hard faint, I could have busted him all up, you know what I'm saying? But I was like, I'm just trying to make it through the round, you know what I'm saying? And I know I'm trying to make it through the round because I done looked and turned with my eyes looking at the clock. 45 more seconds, I'm good. And when I see the faint, not only did I see it, my trainer saw it. And he done got, I'm telling you, he caught up in this fight. He told me, let your hands go. So Todd, he throws something, and I roll on it. And when I came up, I'm listening to him. I done let my hands go, hey! And I done hit Todd. I done turned Todd shit up, too. I done turned his shit up. The people know I'm nice, right? Now, in the gym, it's times that you want some support from other fighters that's in the gym. It's time that you want some support. Then there's other times that you don't want nobody to say nothing. It's a dude on a heavy bag, and he holler out, ooh, Todd, I saw that shit. And I said, man, shut your ass up. Shut up. But this nigga hear you. Shut up. I was hoping Todd didn't hear. And Todd said, oh, yeah? And I was like, oh, God. Because I could see something different in his eyes. His eyes look different. I'm going to say this. And you can go on his page, and you can see on his page, Todd Manuel, his name on Instagram is Todd Blazing Amazing Manuel. And I'm saying, first of all, why does he have two nicknames? He's supposed to have one nickname. But I'm telling you, when Todd's eyes changed and that man said that he saw that, I'm gonna tell y'all, it was blazing and it was amazing. Todd hit me everywhere that you can hit a person. I got hit in the knees. I don't even know how that happened. And man, Todd was wearing me out in the corner, and the bell rang. And I said to myself, thank God. I don't know how long I was in that corner. The bell rang again. I said, oh my God, he's coming back. But he had started sparring another person while I was still in the corner. I didn't know he was sparring nobody else. So he started beating him in the corner. I said, oh, y'all in here, excuse me. I didn't see y'all doing your thing. I'm done. I get out the ring, and I done took my gloves off like this. I done took my gloves off with my legs. Put my stuff in my bag and spit my mouthpiece in my bag, and I'm about to leave. I'm about to go. I done gathered my things. It's time to go. I'm walking out. My trainer told me, hey, where you going? I said, I've been trained for the day. You saw it. You saw what happened. He told me, now, you came in here messing with that man. You got to do your regular 12 rounds of training. I said, that got to count for one. You saw it. So while I'm in the gym doing my regular training, Todd is sparring another dude, a big dude. And now, I done got proud of myself because I'm on the speed bag and it's other people in the gym commenting. I didn't get none of what big dude is getting. Todd is knocking the meat off this big dude. And you hear other fighters in there talking about, damn, big man, put your hands up. I'm like, see? I didn't get none of that. Didn't nobody call out no shit on me. Because people know I'm nice, right? So I'm getting ready to leave. And Todd is on his cool down. He on his cool down. He in there jumping rope. And I'm walking out. I stopped right in front of Todd. I said, hey, I don't know if you know anything about me, but I don't let folks whoop me and don't come back. Just know, when I get here tomorrow, you better have all your shit on. Because it's going down, you understand me? Todd. I'll be here. I said, nigga, you heard what I said. I said, what time you gonna be here tomorrow? Todd. I'm gonna be here all day. I'm walking out with my trainer and I tap my trainer. I said, hey, you notice he ain't give me no exact time. Yeah. That's Monday. Tuesday, 5:30 a.m. Main Street Boxing Gym. I show up, but I did not go upstairs. I stayed downstairs in the aerobic section. finna go back up there. Shit. I done finished my aerobics. I get to my phone. I got 3 missed calls and a text message. All from Todd. His message on somebody, where you at? I text that man back. I said, man, I'm out of town. He gonna text me right back. Talking about, why your truck outside? I text some childish shit. I said, don't worry about it. They finna beat me up again, crazy as hell. Todd done had goddamn thousands of fights, thousands of them. I done had 17 fights, and all of them was when I was 14. All of them was when I was 14. Now that's one Monday. This next Monday was a little different. I'm minding my business. I'm at home, and I get a phone call from my brother's mother, right? Yeah, she not my mama, she my brother's mama. And she not a stepmama, you know, because, you know, my daddy, she was one of them ladies that my daddy used to mess with. You know, my daddy was one of them, okay? And, but they had a good relationship, and I really liked this woman. I kept in touch with her because she has my little brother. She called me, her name's Patrice. She said, hey, have you talked to your little brother? I said, no. Why, what's up? She said, I saw on his Instagram, it says locked up in Mexico. I said, well, that explains why I haven't talked to him. He's locked up in Mexico. She said, what are we going to do? I said, we have not been contacted. I don't just jump in other people's business. I don't know. That could be an old post. He could be playing. I don't know what his situation is. But I got to be contacted first. So we talking a little bit, and then I get an unknown phone call. And see, me, I'm not like other people. I answer unknown phone calls because I'm not a coward. Yeah, I'm not gonna let nobody restrict me from answering a phone that I paid a bill on. You crazy as hell. You ever seen somebody get an unknown phone call? They act like the people can see that. Ooh, who is that? That nigga, answer the phone. If it's somebody you don't like, hang up. If they call back, you know exactly who it is. I answer unknown phone calls. And because I'm 51, so I don't remember when we got so cowardly that we wouldn't answer an unknown phone call. I remember me and my sister used to race to answer the phone. And I know it wasn't for me because I was 6. As soon as that phone rang, hello, hello. And this is when I first ever, when I was 6 years old, answering that phone, this is the first time I learned to lie. I learned to lie at 6. At first, I wasn't lying. I answered the phone, and my mama looking right in my eyes. She say she not here. That's what she said. I'm looking right at her ass. So I say, Patrice, let me call you back. I got an unknown phone call. She's talking about, who is it? I said, Patrice, it's unknown. I click over. It's this woman named Veronica. Veronica starts off to, she said, hey, my name is Veronica. You do not know me. I said, I know. It was unknown. She said, I am calling on behalf of your little brother. I said, are you in Mexico? She said, no, but he called me because I picked up and he needed a translator. Now, this is the first red flag to me that my brother needs a translator. I know for facts that my brother, for the first 4 years of his life, all he spoke was Spanish because he had a Mexican nanny. And now you trying to tell me you locked up in Mexico and you can't remember no Spanish? ¿Cómo estás? Hola? Nothing? Okay. She said, he's on the other line. I'm going to merge you in. I said, okay. She merged me in, and it's really actually not my brother. It's a Mexican attorney on the phone. He's allowing my brother to use his phone, and my brother's on speakerphone. And I can hear my brother in the back talking about, hey, man, you got to get me out of here. First of all, I need to know why you in there. Because I just don't be calling me because you know I've been locked up before. I'm a very bougie ex-con. I need to know why you are locked up. I need to agree with your crime, too. I need to agree with your crime. Because what is he over there trafficking human beings and some shit? I can't be involved in no shit like that. I'd send him the bond money. Now I'm in the ring. Nah, I can't do it. I say, man, what are you locked up in Mexico for? My brother is locked up in Mexico for the stupidest thing known to man. He got caught in the airport with 4 ounces of marijuana, which is stupid because marijuana is legal in Mexico. You can just get whatever you want to smoke in Mexico. You ain't got to transfer nothing over there. And I said that. I said, why did you just get the shit in Mexico? He told me, man, I don't know what they got. I got to smoke my own shit. I say, see, your bougie ass, now your own shit got you locked up. You see how this works? I said, Darius, because that's his name, Darius. I said, Darius, how much are they saying it's going to cost to get you out? He said, man, they said $6,000. And I said, scam! And I hung the phone up. This is a scam. I saw this on the news. This is a scam. Because when you get elderly, when you get old, they start using your friends and your family to get the money. No, this got to be a scam. I saw this on the news. I watched the whole program. Scam. Definitely a scam. Scam. I get another unknown phone call. I answer the phone. Hello? My brother told me, man, goddamn. I said, Darius, I don't even really know if this you. I don't. I say, Darius, if this is really you, how much money do you owe me currently? On the other end of this phone, if they give me a number, I know damn well this ain't my little brother. He ain't gonna confess to all that money he owe me. He told me, shit, right about Ryan. I said, oh, this him. I said, right about around, nigga. No, you know what you owe me, nigga, right about around. Dang, that's a lot of directions, right about around. I say, Darius, man, on the real, I'm gonna be straight up with you, bro. That's $6,000, that don't even sound, it don't sound right, dog. That math just ain't mathing to me. It's legal over there. Why would it be $6,000? I say, man, bro, listen. Talk to the people and asked him what the real number is. See, to the lighter hue people in here, to my lighter hue family, my dark skin family know this. There's a number that they tell you, then it's a number that they will accept. And the accept number is the real number. I say, man, asking people what the real number is. And then I hear him, because he's still on speakerphone on the message to turn his phone. I can hear him talking to them people. And it just ain't going the way I want it to go. Because I'm hearing too many cinco sesses and sesses and cincos. I think they said Cinco de Mayo twice. It just sound like six is about to come back. I don't know. I just don't know. He gonna come back to the phone sounding all timid. To my man, I talked to him, man. And they say $6,000. And I said, scam! And I hung the phone up. I'm telling y'all, I saw this on the news. They use your friends and your family to get the money. I watched the whole program. After that last scam, 2 hours go by, ain't nobody called me back. I start calling other people in the family. I say, hey, it's a scam going around. They using Darius. Let me tell you what to do. They gonna call you, they gonna say 6,000, you say scam, then they gonna call you back and you say scam again, then they ain't gonna call you back. I just did it, I'm trying to tell you. After those 2 hours, I done start, living my life again. Because, that was a lot of pressure on me. I started living my life again. And a phone call, unknown. I answer the phone. Hello. It's my brother. And he sound like he crying.
Man, listen, man, I've been here talking to people, man, and I'm trying to tell you, man, if you don't get me out of here in the next 6 hours, man, they gonna transfer me to some wild shit. And you ain't gonna be able to find me. You gonna have to come over here.
I said, Darius, you have been in there for some time now. They should start deducting. Ask them what the real number is. I hear my brother talking, and I'm listening. He come back to that phone sounding weak.
Man, they say it's gonna be $6,000.
Scam, and I hung up. See, I saw on the news, they say they gonna try to pull at your heartstrings on the news. They gonna call you, they gonna pull at your heartstrings. They use your friends and your family to get the money. I said, you know something? My brother probably ain't talking right. He probably ain't talking right. So let me really get involved. Let me immerse myself in this. Let me get involved. I call my attorney. His name is Stan Broussard. I tell true stories. I want to tell it. I tell everybody name. I call Stan Broussard. I say, Stan. He said, what's going on, good brother? I say, listen, man. Apparently, my brother got himself in some trouble over there in Mexico. I need you to call over there to the embassy and see what we can get done. Yeah, because I'm one of them. I'm not like other arrogant Americans who go out of town all willy-nilly and just be by yourself. Don't nobody know where you're at. I don't play them type games. You know what I'm saying? Anytime I'm going out the country, I contact the embassy to let them know that I'm out and about. Yeah. I live in Houston. If I go to Dallas, I call the embassy. I don't know what type of sanctions or embargoes that we got with South Dallas. I'm calling somebody. My attorney calls me back with an attorney from the embassy named Miss Kathleena. Miss Kathleena's on that phone. It's me, her, and Stan. And she says, I've looked into it because Stan has filled me in, and your brother is absolutely correct. He is locked up in Mexico. And if you don't get your brother out of there in the next 5 hours, they're going to transfer your brother to some wild shit. And you're not going to be able to find him. You're going to have to come over here. And I said, how much is it going to cost to get my brother out? She said, $6,000. And I said, damn! I transfer the money to Stan. Stan transfers it to Miss Kathleena. I get a phone call in an hour and an email. Your brother has been released. That's what she said. That was on a Monday. How old are you, good brother? 62, grown man, real grown. Just gonna throw this out there at you, just sling it to you. If I paid $6,000 to get you out of jail in Mexico, what's your first move? Call me and say thank you, okay? What's your next move? Go home and get out of Mexico, right? See, that's grown people shit, that's grown people shit. You're done. See, I'm 51. If I go to jail, my first day of vacation in Mexico, I am done with Mexico. I've seen all I need to see. I've seen your judicial system. I'm good. Let's go on, go home. It's time to go home. That's what grown people do. Something happened to us, we go the fuck home. Okay, now, my brother is 34. He's a child. He's a child. Okay, so he didn't call me. I don't know if he out only because I got the email. I see on his Instagram on Wednesday, this nigga ziplining. This nigga ziplining. Went through a whole safety briefing. Ain't called and said shit to me. He ziplining. Nigga had a helmet on and everything. Just ziplining. I said, well, maybe he'll call me Thursday. Friday come. Friday. I get up Friday morning. He on his live smoking weed in his hotel room talking about, yeah, they tried to hold a nigga down. I hate him. I hate him. I hate him to the core of me. I hate him. I hate him. And he has no intentions. He has no intentions on paying me that $6,000 back. No intentions. Let me tell you something. Because see, the week before he went to Mexico, the nigga owed me $2,500. You know what I'm saying? Before that, let me tell you how he tried to pay me the $2,400 back. He gonna call me. I'm riding home. He calls me. Hey, man, where you at? I say, I'm on the way home. What's good? He said, man, I'm over here at this dog park. I said, okay. He said, yeah, I just found this Rottweiler. He said, you want him? I said, I don't want no found-ass Rockwilder Darius. I don't want a found-ass Rockwilder. He told me he got fleas right now, but I'm about to give him a bath. Nigga, what? I don't want no found-ass Rockwilder Darius. He told me, see, every time a nigga trying to pay you back, you can't pay me back with no found-ass dog, Darius. I hate him. He has changed me as a human being. I used to be a good person. I used to be like outside person that if you drunk, I come pick you up. You call me, I'm gonna come pick you up. I ain't gonna let you drive drunk. Those days are over because of Darius. Because he knows that about me, so he starts taking advantage of the shit. He called me on a Wednesday. Who's drunk on Wednesday? Darius. I called my sister, my older sister, and I know she up because it's 5:15. She up. I called her. I said, hey, sis, come on, what you doing up? I said, I had to come pick up Darius. Come on, what are you doing? I said, does Darius, do he ever call you? Like to come get him? He told me, no, I had my little brother time. I said, what does that mean? She's talking about, I did my time with you. I had you. I said, was I a bad little brother or something? I'm talking about, I ain't gonna say you was bad, but you was difficult. I said, what you mean? Talking about, should we go back to when you was 9? What happened when you was 9? I said, let me tell y'all what happened. I am 9 years old, and my mom, you know, parents know, when you got kids and you engulfed in your kids, you know when they got a lot of energy and they own something. I got a lot of energy. I'm getting ready to leave to go outside. I'm walking, and my mama was sitting on the couch, and she stopped me. She said, hey, where you about to go? I said, I'm about to go outside and play. She said, key goddamn word, play. Take your ass out there to that park and play. I said, oh, okay. He said, now, I'm going to tell you this. Don't let me catch your ass at that factory with them other little boys. I'm going to tell you something, because you don't work there, and that factory is closed. Go outside and play. I said, gotcha, Mama. I'm outside for about 15 minutes. I'm at the factory. With them other little boys. While I'm at the factory, I fall and break my leg. I am not concerned with this leg. I am concerned with my location. Because my leg can be broke, it just can't be broke here. So I am military crawling across a street. With a broken leg trying to get away from this factory. My sister is 11. I'm 9, my sister's 11. And my sister's on the way to this store called 7-Eleven to get a Big Go. And as she is walking to 7-Eleven, because this is back then when they didn't kidnap your kids. They let your kids just, we were safe back then. So we just, my sister walking. And she sees her little brother. My sister runs to me and she sees that my leg is broke. And my sister go right to this, where are you supposed to be? I said, at the park. She said, we got to get you there. Because she knows. If my mama catch me anywhere other than this park, she going to break my other leg. It's going to be some old broke shit on me. We get to the park. My cousin Sean, my girl cousin Sean, sees my leg is broke. She said, oh, your leg broke. I'm about to eat your mama. My sister grabs her. Wait. We got some things to figure out. My sister asked me, say, what are you going to say happened? And I don't know. She said, don't worry about it. Let me think. My sister, I see my sister take the swing. The old swing, leather, little plastic, you know, whatever that material is. And she is twisting the chain up. She's twisting the and she gonna look back at me to my, this gonna hurt. I said, what? What's gonna hurt? What do you mean? What's gonna hurt? My sister and my 10-year-old cousin Sean hoist me up in the swing, put my broken leg in the swing. Now I'm just dangling. Let's dangle. My sister tell my cousin Sean, go get my mom. As I'm dangling, I can see my mother running. I'm upside down, I can see my mother running. My sister's gonna look at me to my, hey, you gotta be crying. I said, what? My sister said, bah, bah, bah. Y'all know every family function, my mama manages to bring this up. My mama be like, you know something? I shouldn't have been working all these years. If I would have just sued that complex when you broke your leg at that park, me, my sister, and my cousin Sean, I'll be looking at you like, nah. You'd have been just getting out of jail for fraud is what you would have been. You'd have been just coming home, girl. These next two stories are Mondays. Okay. Because I have a really healthy admiration for the elderly. Really healthy admiration. Because without them, I would never be able to do what I'm doing now. They paved the way for us to be able to talk freely. You know what I'm saying? So I respect the elderly full-fledged. I don't think they ever supposed to be hungry. I don't think they ever not supposed to be safe. I think you're not supposed to put them in homes and shit like that. You're supposed to take care of them because they took care of you. That's what I think in my mind, right? So what I did in my family, I gave all the elderly people in my family keys to my house. You know what I'm saying? Hey, if y'all need something, you just come over. You know what I'm saying? Not really thinking that they was gonna do it. I ain't think they was gonna come over like they do now. It's unannounced. They do a lot. So I'm in the house and I'm minding my own business, watching Law and Order, Special Victims. And I hear somebody coming through the door. But everybody is accounted for in this house. Everybody living in this house is accounted for. I'm looking at the door. I'm like, who the hell coming in this door? My uncle, he is 89 years old. He's 89. He coming into my house and he walked past me. Yeah. Yeah, you a hater. I said, what? I said, what? He said, yeah, you a hater. You heard what I said. I said, did you just learn that word or something? No, hater. I said, how am I a hater? He said, well, yeah, because you trying to act like you don't see it. Like I don't see. What don't I see? He said, yeah, you don't see my life alert bracelet. Life alert bracelet? Ain't that supposed to be around your neck? He said, I don't want that shit around my neck. I fall and can't get to it. I need it to be on my wrist so I can hit it with my chin. I said, man, ain't nobody hating on your little life alert bracelet, dog. He told me, don't worry about it, hater. I'ma will it to you when I die, hater. Okay. 2 weeks later, he didn't die just 2 weeks later. I ain't gonna kill my uncle off in a story like that. 2 weeks later, I'm at my house, and my aunt, his sister, is at my house. I have no idea that she's there. She's 96. Yeah. And she's sitting on the couch downstairs, and I'm in my house, and I'm about to go get some water. But in my home, when I'm at home, I wear proper pajamas to bed. I don't sleep naked. I don't sleep in basketball shorts and shit like that. I wear proper pajamas to bed. If you don't, that's fine. I'm classy. We different. I come downstairs to get some water, and I'm walking, and my aunt sees me, and when you 96, you say whatever you want to say. They looked at me and said, hey, you need to stop wearing them Florence Nightingale-ass pajama pants. I said, Florence Nightingale? Somebody, yeah, you see all that flare in the bottom of your damn pants? I said, these are pajama pants. It's no straight leg pajama pants. All of them got flare in the pajama pants. Try to defend myself against this elderly lady. Okay. 2 weeks later, she didn't die either, just 2 weeks later. In my home, I have a landline phone. Have a landline. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, because I'm smart. I don't just have my cell phone. I have a landline. Because everybody who I do business with has a landline phone. And every place that my money is stored, they have a landline phone. Yeah, the bank has a landline. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not finna be disconnected from my money. I don't need to be able to call somebody. Now, in my neighborhood, people make fun of me because I got a landline phone. They know it. Somebody, yeah, Mr. Rotary phone over there. Call me Mr. Rotary phone. I get it. Now, I live in Houston, and a freeze happens in Houston. A freeze. Cell towers are down. People can't use their cell phone. I'm all outside long cord. Yeah, boy. Yeah. It's cold as hell out here, boy. Can't nobody else talk but me. Shit. Yeah. Now, my neighbor, Sean, needs to use the phone. I charged that man $35 a minute to use my goddamn phone. A minute? Yes. And I don't get no scam calls on my landline. Don't nobody scam call me on a landline phone. Now, I'm upstairs, my landline ringing downstairs. I said, shit, let me run down here, get on my phone real quick. I get to the steps, and these Florence Nightingale-ass pajama pants and got up under my foot. Now I'm bobsledding down the damn steps. And I can't stop myself because, you know, the pajamas got a little silk to them, so I done picked up speed. I'm sliding down the stairs. I done hit my shoulder on the banister and dislocated my goddamn shoulder. I done flipped all the way down the steps. I'm at the bottom of the steps. My feet are over my face. I am the only person home, and I'm at the bottom of the steps, and the first thing came to my mind. I said, I wish I had a life alert bracelet. You got to listen to them, man. They know stuff, man. They know stuff. Now I walk around the house with my pajama pants stuffed in my socks. Got to listen to people. My last Monday, I don't know if y'all know how disrespectful raccoons are. Raccoons are the most disrespectful animal. So in my neighborhood, you know, I moved in this neighborhood with the lighter hue. I didn't know. And I'm putting my trash out and I'm noticing that I'm getting up and my trash is all over the yard. And I said, you know something? They trying to hate crime me out the neighborhood. I know who it is. I got a suspect already. It's racist Steve. It's racist Steve. Because there's two Steves in the neighborhood. It's racist Steve and it's good Steve. So I said, you know something? I'm going to put some cameras up in the front to be able to see who messing with my trash. Now, I wait. I put the trash back out there. Trash all over the yard. I go to the cameras. I say, yeah, racist Steve ass in trouble. I'm finna call the authorities on his ass. And I go back through. It is 5 raccoons tearing my trash up. And it's 4 medium ones, and it's a big one. It's a big one. So I put my trash out again. And these raccoons so damn disrespectful. I put my trash out. I didn't even take no away steps. I didn't get no away steps. This was a turnaround step. And then I heard the lid come off. I said, I turned back. It's a big raccoon looking at me like, shit, go on back in the house. You put the shit out here, man. This is our trash. You put it out here. And being from a hood, you know what I'm saying, I know that you can shoot things. You can shoot a dog, but you can't shoot no raccoon. And a dog come up, you just have to get your ass out of here, dog. And then dog run off. Man, these raccoons, I said, man, get your ass out of here. The raccoons like, get your ass out of here. I said, these niggas been on Happy Feet before. This is crazy. So I said, you know, some animals don't like water. So I get the water hose and put the shit on jet. And I come, shh. You know these badass raccoons start taking a shower. One of them took his mask off. I'm pissed. I'm pissed. And I wanna shoot these raccoons, but in my neighborhood, they got an ordinance that you cannot shoot them. You can just trap them and relocate them. Now, this is where you can't be so black that you don't listen to people. Because I know how we are. You know, we all the same when it comes to this. Black people do not like other people interjecting they self into their life, especially white people, you know what I'm saying, without us asking you for assistance. Don't just tell me no shit. So, and this is the thing about me that I understand. I know about trapping, just not this type of trapping, right? Appreciate y'all catching that one. So I go to the feed store, because I'm finna buy me a trap, go to the feed store, and I'm in there, and I'm looking at this trap, and this nosy-ass white man gonna come by to my, hey, you know that's the wrong trap. I said, you don't even fucking know what I'm trying to trap. Let me get my shit and get out of here. This nosy-ass white man, all of my goddamn business. Let me get my shit and get out of here. But I'm already tight about this. You don't tell me it's the wrong trap. Your ass, ain't nobody ask you shit. So I give my trap, I take my trap home. And I'm gonna trap these raccoons. I took a drumstick and I tied it inside the trap. And then I went in the house and I'm looking out the blinds. I see the big raccoon come out. Looked at my trap. Sat down. Next to my trap. Put his arm in my trap. Ate all the meat off the drumstick. And threw the bone back in there, dangling. Bone just dangling. See me looking out the blinds. He looking at me like, put another one in there. Since you feed motherfuckers, put another one in there. I am mad. I'm mad. I'm taking this goddamn trap back to the damn store. This damn trap don't work. I come right in there and put the trap on the counter. You know who's in there? Same nosy ass white man. He said, told you that was the wrong trap. I said, white man, how the hell you know it was the wrong trap? He said, colored man. I said, who the fuck are you calling colored man? He said, who the fuck are you calling white man? I said, I'm calling you white man because I don't know your goddamn name. He said, I'm calling you colored man because I don't know your name. I said, touche, touche. He said, that's your name, touche? I said, hell no, my name ain't no touche. I said, man, how the hell you know that's the wrong trap? He said, first of all, that's a dog cage. Two sons, right? And Hassan, this is my baby boy, Hassan. I love Hassan. His name means beautiful, and that's what his name means. And he's a beautiful soul. And this is how I know that Hassan is a better person than my oldest son. I found this out on a Monday as well. I found this out on a Monday, right? So I walked in, because Hassan is just different. He's not what people would be considered as corny in a black neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? Like them little boys who I grew up, like, what corny ass. But Hassan is 14, and he's supposed to be 14. He has been allotted a life that he could be an actual child. You know what I'm saying? At 14, I was selling drugs at 14. You know what I'm saying? I don't want my son doing that. I don't want my son to have no type of street shit in him. I want him to be corny. And I'm really doing a good job with this because Hassan, don't clap. We ain't to the clap part yet, okay? So Hassan, it's his birthday, and Hassan comes with a list of what he would like for his birthday. And this is how I knew that Hassan is a real child. On the list, Hassan had 14 Transformer toys on the list. That's what he wanted. Got him all the Transformers. And he, the next morning, I went to his room. Hassan melted my heart. Hassan's in the bed sleep with all 14 Transformers. And I said, this is beautiful. I went and got Trey, his older brother. I said, Trey, come here. Let me show you something, Trey. Let me show you something. Hassan in there sleeping like an angel. And I said, look at your younger brother. Look at him. Look at him. Sleep with all his toys. Trey to my, yeah, with his corny ass. I said, see, that's what's wrong with your gang member. You ain't got no softness in your heart. I said the same two sentences to both of them. I said the same sentence to both of them. I came in, I told Trey, I said, hey, Trey, listen, man. You gonna have to hustle, bro. Trey said, yeah, shit, about time, boy. I've been hearing about you in the streets. Put your boy on. I said, not like that, gang member. Hassan, beautiful soul. I came in, said the same thing, Hassan. I said, Hassan, hey man, you gonna have to hustle. Hassan said, what, my feet? Detroit.